You know, Barb, fear causes exaggerations and lies, and you were listening to a well-known Bible teacher the other day, and he confessed that he had that problem.
I was very shocked that Derek Prince would admit that he exaggerated most of his life, and then he took that horrible sin by the horns and said, I am not going to do this anymore, and he cut it off from his life immediately with a prayer. And Darren, it is truly a decision that we make when we see some weakness, and that just tells me that everyone has something to work at. Every one of you listening has a weakness that you're going to have to work at. Through the help of Holy Spirit and through the blood of Jesus, you can conquer it. But every one of us has a weakness, Darren.
We know we have two scriptures in the book of John that says, in fact, one says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free, John 8:32.
Yes.
Now, once you know the truth about fear, and that's one of the reasons why we're teaching these messages, you can take that monster by the neck and get it out of your life.
Yes.
But you have to take truth. See, truth will destroy fear.
That's right.
And who is truth? That's one of Jesus' names.
Yes.
I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the way and the truth. He is the way out. And so when we realize that and we take the Word of God and we begin to confess it and affirm it, and say, this is going to be true in my life. I'm not going to be a scaredy cat anymore. I'm not going to get the shakes every time I hear a certain thing coming down the street. I want to get rid of it.
That's right. You know, a lot of Christians think that exaggeration is not a sin. Well, I just stretched the truth a little bit. Or, well, I just added a little bit, you know, just to make it sound more exciting. And it is absolutely a lie. There's no such thing to God as a white lie or a black lie or a big lie or a little lie or an exaggeration. And those all come as lies. And we can see that with the spies. They exaggerated to a point that it harmed not only them, but their whole families died in the wilderness because of their exaggerations. Those are sins.
Well, and let me check on some here. When you ask me at night, and I, you know, you've gone one way and I've gone another way during the day, and I get home at night and you say, what'd you have to eat today? And I said, I had a donut. Well, actually, I had two donuts. Is that a lie?
Oh, that's keeping the truth from you. Oh, you are a real character. Well, that's...
See, if you'd ask me...
You are withholding part of the truth.
Said, how many donuts? Would, then that would be a lie.
Oh, that... Okay. And
no.
You would say... One, and that would be a lie.
I had a donut.
You had a donut.
Yes, I had a donut.
You had a donut. Well, now I know what to ask you the next time.
Well, I'm just giving that as an example. You know, it's not a confession. It's an example.
Well, I'll tell you, this exaggeration thing was a real stronghold in my own life. It was partly for attention. I remember standing up one time in fourth grade and exaggerating a story just so I could get the attention of the students in the class, because I wanted my story to be bigger and better than anybody else's story. And that thing followed me, that exaggeration demon followed me into my 30s and 40s, Darren, until one day, and this is what's so precious about Holy Spirit, he says, deal with it. You know, if you see a weakness, deal with it now, right now. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I do not want this. I cast out this exaggeration, this spirit of exaggeration in Jesus' name. I don't want any part of it anymore, Jesus, and please do deal with it right now in my life.
So that followed you into your 40s, and so we won't ask how old you are, but it's been gone for a while.
Yes. And now I had to deal with it as it tried to stick its ugly head up again in my life, but I have dealt with it. And praise the Lord, to my knowledge, I do not exaggerate. And that is something that I think is just a real terrible thing to follow, especially in a believer's life. So, yes, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And that's so good, John 14:6.
You know, Barbara, this is a lifetime assignment, a lifetime battle. I mean, getting that flesh down in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we move from image to image and glory to glory. That's really what sanctification means. And when the Word sanctifies our lives and it doesn't come and jump off the page and get us down and say, listen, you need this. No, we have the choice. So when we take God's medicine, we take God's way, God's method, God's power, God's authority, God's anointing, we can break those strangleholds. And some of them are just little things. They just bug you, you know. But it keeps you from being victorious in Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Now, one of the most destructive causes of fear, I believe, Darren, is this very next one, and it's number 6 isolation. And when a person isolates himself from his brothers and his sisters, from his family, Satan can take over and rule. Now here in 1 Kings 19, we see where Elijah was afraid of that wicked Jezebel. And here he had just destroyed 950 prophets of Baal and Asherah and thrown the idols into the Kidron and destroyed basically all the idols on Mount Carmel. And the Lord brought down fire from heaven and licked up the sacrifice. And then when she said, you know what, I'm going to get you, Elijah. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to see to it that you're dead. He was afraid and arose and ran for his life into the wilderness and sat down and requested for himself that he might die.
You know, Barbara, though, we're dealing with another situation here. It's not just the fact that he ran off after he'd had a mighty victory. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this. Many times that anointing or power is discharged in a situation. I know that's true in ministry.
That's true, yes.
And you go away, and the next day, you're flat. You're not
tired.
Anointed. You're tired. You've been beat up on in the spirit world and whatever, and maybe by a lot of people that haven't understood. You need to give yourself a break. And what I try to discipline myself to do, in fact, just yesterday, I got really angry over a situation, and I wanted to strike back. And I try to do this, and fortunately, I did it. Give yourself some time. Give yourself another perspective. I mean, take a look at this thing. And it was something that really, really got inside of me. And I mean, it was hard. I mean, it's reared its ugly head for some period of time. And it involves some other people and the decisions they make. And I think, oh, Lord, will this thing ever change? Will these people always act like idiots and act like they don't have any brains? Won't they ever start thinking? Well, I have to make sure that I don't isolate myself, but I give myself some time. And I think Elijah there needed some time, and yet God came to his aid, even though he ran off like a chicken.
Yes. And isolation, Darren, can really bring forth all kinds of irrational thoughts. And fear can just really engulf a person who chooses to be apart from any kind of counsel or any kind of fellowship. And that's got to be one of the most destructive causes of fear. And if you're in that situation, I would encourage you, when you hear that Darren and I are going to be in your vicinity or something, force yourself to come and be among believers, or force yourself to go to a church and get involved, or force yourself to go to a nursing home and walk through those halls and just walk into a door and say, hi, you know, we've been going to a nursing home to see a friend in the last month and a month and a half. And there's a lady, Darren, that sits in a wheelchair, and I know you know who I'm talking about. We don't know her name, but right when we round the corner, she's right there in a room where when we round the corner to this other lady's room, she's right there. And lately, she's been saying hi, and I've been saying, hi, how are you? And she says, I'm okay. And I said, well, good. I hope God's real good to you today. She's getting friendlier. And it's important that if we feel isolated, go out and help somebody that is worse off than we are.
You know, in that same nursing home, there's a lady that, and they let you know now, nobody sits in that chair but this one lady.
That's right.
She's 102 years old, but she's bright. And I walked by the other day, and I waved at her, and I made eye contact with her, and she responded to me.
Yes.
But you know, when we think about these emotions, and it's emotions that get us in trouble. And here Elijah's emotions were going crazy. And you know God understands that. And yet he sent an angel to him when he was running from the old witch Jezebel. He said, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. He said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God.
Oh, and at Horeb, then God really spoke to him in a quiet and still voice. But Darren, we cannot allow self-pity to take over at this time in our life. Even if we feel down, we cannot allow self-pity to take over.
Sometimes we have to say, my emotions are going wacko today. You know, I'm just, they're up and down the chart. So I'm going to give myself a little time. And sometimes you have to disengage. I don't care whether you're in ministry, you're in manufacturing, you're in sales, you're in promotion, whatever you're into. You need to get a break. Break that focus. Uh-huh. God used to tell me that when I was working real hard in